Welcome back to the Three Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
Little White Balls Live.
I'm your host, Scotty T. Now I'm joined by my co-hosts, KJ and T-Bone. How's it going, boys?
Good.
Doing good.
Happy Memorial Day to everyone out there. Long weekend, so that's why we are recording on Tuesday. How was everybody's weekend?
Good. Got to shoot a hog and played some golf.
It's a good day right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. T-Bone, how about you?
I played golf and probably killed a hog out in the woods somewhere with where my balls were landing this weekend.
Yeah, dome shot, right?
Yeah. I was firing some heaters in the woods this weekend. Lost a 60-degree wedge, and
your
golf
sunburn.
Game's not feeling too good. I'm burnt to a crisp, and I think I have plantar fasciitis.
Sounds like you had a great weekend. Maybe a little alcohol involved?
Yes, but
a few cocktails.
But right. I'll give the real story of why I hurt my foot. No strings attached. I wanted to get some exercise during a alcohol-filled weekend, so I went for a 4-mile jog in the hill country. I never jog. And I woke up and holy hell, my ankle and foot probably hurts as much as KJ's did.
That sounds more unbelievable than my story, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
Yeah, running 4 miles? Are you kidding me?
Start and stop, but yeah.
Okay.
It wasn't a full 4 mile
It wasn't like
run.
Straight.
It was like non-stop. A jog for half to 3/4 of a mile, take a walk.
Man.
Up and down hills. I thought I was doing good.
That's your way to detox, huh?
Yeah.
Word.
But fucked up my ankle, so or my heel, so not worth it.
Is it your left or right one?
Right. So KJ will have to give me some pointers
on
how to swing. I can sell you a $300 air cast.
Yeah. We have a boot available for you.
Perfect. Yeah. He's maybe get the hard cast on there too if you haven't thrown that away.
Oh, that's disgusting. You don't want that.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
That definitely
one,
got
that's
thrown away.
Probably for the better.
Yeah, but
hey, there was a nice little design on the cast, though, that T-Bone drew on you, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Little White Ball is life.
These are facts.
Little White Ball is life, 100%. Do you want to brag on KJ a little bit? Hopefully you saw our Instagram story, which is why you need to check us out on social media at 3UnderParPod. Number 3UnderParPod, Twitter and Instagram. And wherever you're listening to this, subscribe, write us a review, and give us a 5-star rating. But we were out playing yesterday, KJ.
These
out of Hearthstone.
Yep.
And KJ fired a 66. Great round. But I'll tell you what, I've never seen anybody so upset over a 66 in my entire life, because KJ had about 5-6 footer for birdie on the last hole for 65, misses it, and then, you know, like in Happy Gilmore, here comes the putter throw. Like, that's pretty much exactly what happened. Ball goes flying through the air. It was pretty impressive, though. I'm not going to lie. You
prick.
Made really great contact on that.
I made better
contact. But you're being
contact.
A little bitch about the 66.
I made better contact cherry bombing it and smoking that putter 100 yards than I did on the putt from 5 feet.
Yes.
Let's just say that. Well, I mean, I've shot 66 a couple times before. Never shot 65. So it's
gotcha.
kind of a
You had a really good
deal.
Look at on
yeah,
the last hole, too.
I did.
Are you all right, man? You're going to be okay?
I beat Scott, so it helped settle me a little bit.
I shot under par and got worked.
It's life.
It is, but I did take your money at the end of the day.
Yeah, you gave me a 20 handicap, and it was a team deal, so we'll figure that out later.
It was funny. I texted my roommates. I was like, he was like, "Hey, did you beat Kyle?" And I was like, "No, I didn't, but I took his money." And he responded back with, "If Bryce Harper never wins a World Series, is he still considered a winner?"
Oh, my God.
I was like, come on, Garza. You're killing me here, man. Anyway, shouts
great.
To Garza.
Thanks, Garza. Appreciate it. Appreciate the support.
So hopefully all y'all enjoyed y'all's Memorial Day weekend as well. There was a little bit of golf that was played, though. We want to talk a little bit about it. The Colonial. I think it's – okay, they've switched, like, title sponsors every few years now. I think Charles Schwab.
Charles Schwab Challenge.
The Charles Schwab Challenge.
Which makes it confusing because isn't that all of the senior tour? Like
yeah,
that's like their FedEx Cup.
Yeah, they play for their cup.
Okay. Yeah, that was interesting.
And it says challenge in the name. You think it's going to be some different format.
It almost sounds like a match play format.
And then they like have the same jacket from the RBC Heritage.
And the Arnold Palmer. They all kind of look the same, right?
Yeah.
Huh. I like the Colonial one, though.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It looks identical to the RBC Heritage, but yeah, I like it too. But yeah, pretty low key weekend in golf.
Yeah, because I remember the sponsor before the Charles Schwab Challenge was Dean and DeLuca. Mm-hmm. I was like, what is that? But it's a really cool venue. What is it, like 72, 73 straight years they played a tournament at Colonial, which is the second longest running tournament at the same venue, second only to the Masters at Augusta National. So that's pretty neat. For some reason, I think the tour has just really struggled to find a title sponsor there. So it was really great of Charles Schwab to come in and sponsor that tournament, because Colonial is one of those just very classic golf courses. It's right in the middle of downtown Fort Worth, a mile up the road from TCU. And actually, I got a pretty funny story about that one time. Me and my buddy from college, I was going to go visit at TCU. We played high school golf together. And I was like, hey, man, what do you want to do today? He goes, do you want to go hit balls at Colonial? And I was like, do you know anybody there? And he goes, no. So we literally just like walked up to the range. We grabbed a cart and hit balls for an hour at Colonial.
Criminal.
Didn't know anybody. I told my mom that story today. She didn't like that.
That's pretty bold.
Hey, sometimes you got to risk for the biscuit. But it's great out there. I might cut that story from the podcast. So
no,
if any members
great.
Listen out there, I don't want to get in trouble. But
that's great.
I love golf courses that don't have any houses on there. For me, that's a really big deal, especially a lot of the clubs out there now. Even a lot of courses we play down here, a lot of it's house line, both sides of the fairways and the roughs. It's just – it's a really cool tournament. Kevin Na was your winner.
Na-na-na-na.
What? I don't know what
Almost.
Happened there.
No.
It's na-na-na-na. Nah, 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 nah. That's what, yeah.
That's what I meant to do. Yeah. Anyway, Kevin Na comes in for the victory. Kind of surprising, I'm not going to lie, though. Kevin Na, he shot 62 on Friday. He's low-key shot multiple 62 rounds on tour. Like, I think he's like the second most person to do that in the last 4 or 5 years or something like that. I don't know. Kevin Na.
It was like him and Justin Thomas are a few of those guys that have the most rounds, like under 63. Or something.
I would not have guessed Kevin Na to do that.
Kevin Na, you know, he's not long off the tee, but his short game is phenomenal. What the big stat that jumped out at me is he was 129th coming into that in strokes gained putting, and then he was second that week. That was huge.
Wow.
I mean,
yeah.
Obviously we talk all the time about, you know, your putter gets hot, that's player's going to win, all that kind of stuff. But he's 129th on tour.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, and then he's second this week. Like, something got hot. His short game around there, that's why I like tournaments at Colonial. Unlike the PGA, Fit the Bomber, you see everybody, every type of player win at the Colonial.
I totally agree.
I mean,
He made a Kisner-type comment where he's like, there are those weeks where I have no chance, and this was a week I had a chance.
Yeah, and that just speaks to the golf course. Anybody can go out there and, you know, it fits anybody's type of game. It's not something that you can really overpower. Shout out to him. He played great. I knew kind of at the turn, Finau was giving him a little run, but, you know, Finau's always up there and then never quite gets it done.
Another classic second-place finish from Tony Finau.
Classic second finish for Tony.
Love it.
But, yeah, he just kind of ran away with it there for a little while.
Yeah, to your point, T-Bone, he said, referring to Colonial, he pretty much said, I feel like I can only compete on 7 or 8 golf courses on the PGA Tour. Some golf courses I feel like I have no chance. And I don't play those unless it's a major, and I've got no choice. He goes, I won't mention any names. He doesn't want to throw any other courses under the bus. But clearly, Colonial, he's very comfortable at. He said, I've got a good record here. You got to take advantage of those weeks because there's not too many golf courses like this on tour anymore. He's so right on that, though. I mean, you had bombers out there. Tony Finau, Jordan Spieth was in contention again. Jonas Blix, it was good seeing him play well again. It's been a long time since Jonas Blix has been in the mix in any tournament. And so, Colonial, I really hope that Charles Schwab sticks with it, because I think that playing at courses like Colonial are very important. Just keeping the golf, you know, not turning it into the bomber sport. It's not a
right.
long drive competition. I think that they need to try to keep golf. There's a reason why there's a world long drive challenge thing that's out there anymore, Remax, whatever. Like, keep golf, you know. It's a very contentious debate within the golf community, I feel like, of, you know, bringing angles and to courses and whatnot, but we don't necessarily have to get into that at this time right now. So T-Bone, what do you think, man?
One thing I saw from this tournament that I thought was really cool that I hope other tournaments start doing was that Kevin Na got a car.
Yes.
Got a 1973 Dodge Challenger, which was really cool. And the even cooler part about that was right when he got the keys, he threw them to his caddy.
Yeah, and he did.
That was sick.
I think that's just such a cool add-on to the tournament. It felt like a Super Bowl or World Series when you have that MVP winning whatever kind of car it is. But the fact that it was a 73 Challenger and he gave it to his caddy, I thought that was awesome.
I'm pretty sure his caddy called it. Like, his caddy posted an Instagram early on in the week, and it was of that car, and he goes, can't wait to get this car whenever Kevin Na wins this week. Like, probably just, you know, shooting the shit, just whatever. But, yeah, and then he actually won, and Kevin Na actually gave him the car. That's pretty cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah, just kind of based off everything I heard, Kevin Na is really one of the good guys out there on tour. It's his third win. Do you see him, like, trolling Tiger? He's like, Tiger's going for his 82nd win. I'm gunning for my third win on tour now. Now he's going to be gunning for his fourth. Who knows? He might have to wait till Colonial next year, though. I don't know if he can compete on those courses. Maybe U.S. Open, but I don't know if I'm going to be picking Kevin Na to win.
Yeah, short game's solid, though. I mean, always up there with a short game. It's actually pretty impressive.
Yeah, for sure.
To go back to the car thing, this is just something I remembered. I don't know why they made it, what tournament it was, or why the hell they designed it like this, but Paul Casey was playing in a tournament, and they had a car on the tee box of a par three.
Mm-hmm.
And he was basically same deal where if it was, or except as if you got a hole in one, you got the car. And he told his caddy, if I get a hole in one, this car's yours. Drains the hole in one. The caddy starts freaking out and, like, jumps on the car.
Mm-hmm.
But it was for a different par three.
Oh, my gosh.
So Paul Casey was just giving him so much shit. It was brutal. And what kind of dickhead would do that? They put the car right behind the tee box, and it was for a different hole.
Just the
It's hard to watch. Look it up on YouTube. It's a good video.
I know what you're talking about. Was that at the Valspar?
Could be. It was like a red Volvo or something. It was something random.
Not necessarily a good-looking car.
No, it wasn't that great, but it was pretty funny.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, so big week, Colonial. I think, not a big week. I just think it was a good week. Kind of low-key. Even on Memorial Day, they just had like a moment of silence.
Which I thought was great.
Very cool that the entire course stopped to recognize those who had fallen for our countries. So big shouts to Colonial. Keep playing there. I think tournaments like this are very important for the PGA Tour. I want to give a quick shout out to Scotty Scheffler. Scotty Scheffler on the web.com tour, he won the Evans Scholar Invitational. He's a good guy. I like Scotty Scheffler.
UT.
He's one of those guys. Yeah. He's a UT grad from Dallas. Keep your eye out for Scotty Scheffler. That guy can flat out play some golf. And he's one of those guys, whenever he hits the ball, you're just like, what? I remember playing junior golf, and he was just like a few years younger than us, I think. Just already dominating the field. Just the guy's unreal. So big shouts to Scotty Scheffler, one of the good guys as well out there, and he's probably going to be a star on the PGA Tour if I had to guess. Actually, before he won the Evans Scholar Invitational, he qualified for the U.S. Open. So made it through qualifying at, I think it was Bentry in Northwood, and then flew up to Chicago and won the web.com. Pretty big deal. I think we were talking last week, T-Bone, about kind of the web.com and whatnot, how golf is doing a little bit better job of highlighting those up-and-coming stars. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure.
Because I kind of want to transition to what's going on right now. We got it on in the background, are the NCAA tournament, or the NCAAs. Matthew Wolf. That guy is unbelievable. He is so good.
For such an unconventional swing, that guy dominates. Yes. Absolutely dominates. Watching him play, he gets everything out of it, and he doesn't have any conventional, you know, on plane, on the backswing at all. He still sets it, loads the shaft great, gets it back on plane, and just booms it.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone that hasn't seen the swing, it's twitchy, it's weird. It looks like he's kind of got Tourette's or something.
He looks like Elvis before he even starts moving the club. He does a little hip shake.
A little hip motion.
And then he picks the club straight up in the air and then drops it in. He makes Jim Furyk look like he's on plane. He really does.
The weird thing about this tournament, though, is So the first, what is it, two or three rounds are stroke play?
So the first three rounds, I don't know, there's like probably 30 teams that make it to. So you got to make it through your conference. You got to make it through your regionals. And then like the top six teams from each region make it to the final tournament, the NCAAs. And then I think they cut it at 16 after three rounds. And then after four rounds, they cut it to eight teams.
Right. So the first those first 3 days are individual stroke play, but you're also playing for your team because that's how you move on to the match play, which is the team championship.
Correct.
So the top 16 teams in the individual stroke play then move on to play match play for the team championship.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. I think after the third day, they whittle it down again to eight. So it's only the top eight teams make it to match play.
Right. And then they move it down to four in the morning and then two in the afternoon.
Correct. So currently what's going on right now, at the time of this recording, are the semifinals. You have Vanderbilt playing Stanford, and the matches that I'm really excited about, Oklahoma State versus Texas. Now, you saw something this morning, KJ, right?
Right. With, it was brutal.
With Texas A&M?
It's absolutely brutal, and it's all too familiar. So A&M, they won two matches, and they lost two matches. So they're in the final match, the fifth match, and it's tied after 18 holes. They go to the 19th hole. This is to go on to the semifinals. The whole team is riding on this guy the whole season. He booms a driver off the tee right in the center of the fairway. The other guy from Vanderbilt hits a 3-wood and blocks it right and ends up having to chip out. Then he hits a wedge up there to like 5 feet. And the A&M guy hits it in the center of the green, probably at that time thinking all he needed to do was center the green, two-putt, and make par, and he'd probably win because the other guy wasn't going to get up and down. And he hits it 20 feet, knocks his putt 5-6 feet past the hole. Vandy makes his for par, and he yanks it. Three wiggle on the 19th hole. Just absolutely crushing. That's something that guy, no matter what he goes on to do, he'll remember that for the rest of his life.
Yep.
And it sucks. That's something you got to let go.
It's so hard, though.
That's so hard.
Golf sucks.
Golf is so – it sucks so bad.
It's so much fun, but man, it can really scar you sometimes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's one of those that's going to develop some scar tissue there. The match that I love right here is Cole Hammer of Texas and Matthew Wolf of Oklahoma State. Cole Hammer last year made it to the semifinals of the USAM, and he lost to the eventual winner, Victor Hovland. Victor Hovland finished low AM at the Masters this year, and he's currently on this Oklahoma State team. This Oklahoma State team is unbelievably good.
Stacked, yes.
And with between them, Austin Eckhart, like this is like literally Hoffman just made like a 40-footer to save par. This is unbelievable. Oh my gosh. But Matthew Wolf ends up winning the individual title over those 4 days. So that's why the match play determines the team. Matthew Wolf this season, I remember I mentioned his name, I think, pretty early on in the podcast, and you're like, who's this guy? Like,
and yeah, that was at the Waste Management. I had no idea who this guy was.
That's right.
And then I saw the swing, and I was like, I will never forget who that guy is. Is the most distinct swing I think I've ever seen, and I've seen some rough ones.
He has set some very impressive records at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State's probably one of the most historic.
Yeah, year in and year out, one of the top
college
golf schools all the way around.
He set a single-season win record of 6 this year. With the scoring record of 68.69. So they're playing at the Blessings in Arkansas, which is Arkansas's home course. There were 5 people that finished under par.
Tough golf course. Very tough.
Over 72 holes, only 5 people finished under par, and he finished 10 under.
He shot on his final round.
Come up by 5.
Yeah, on his final round, he shoots 40 on the front, and he ends up winning by 5.
Ugh.
That tells you how difficult of a golf course it is.
Yes.
When you shoot 40 with a lead and nobody comes and gets you.
Weird thing about this tournament, though, is so you have the first few qualifying rounds with stroke play, and Oklahoma State just steamrolled everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have a really close match with match play, and Matthew Wolf is getting borderline stomped by Cole Hammer.
Yeah, he's currently 4 up through 13.
And
Cole Hammer,
I think,
won his first match 5-4, and he was 4 up after the turn. I watched him hit like a hybrid or a 3-wood to like 4 feet.
But
like, unreal.
It's such a weird layout, though, because think about the emotional, the mental toll of winning the NCAA tournament individually. Okay, that's half the battle.
Yeah.
Now you have the whole team match play.
It's a lot
of
golf.
If I was Matthew Wolf and I won outright the individual championship, I would not give a shit, I think, at that point. I won whatever.
What a teammate. Team
what
run
a
is.
Good the, teammate what a guy. Right there. Hey. You're literally there for the team.
It's an individual sport.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, obviously, you want to win for the team, but you got to. I don't know how you come back from 3 or 4 days of stroke play.
You see, KJ, I think this is why Stratford was never able to take it to the next level.
After, yeah.
Because we had a selfish number two guy.
Way to go, Scaff. I thought I left it in good hands. Hey. No wonder Steve-O was sending me texts all the time in college. Right.
Hey, at least we could sign scorecards right.
Oh, that's just mean.
Scotty, you signed a wrong scorecard?
Wait, I don't know if we've told this story yet.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Story time.
Now. Oh, yep. Story now I got to hear it. I think T-Bone, okay, you should tell it.
I'm going to tell this story, and then we're going to circle back to the NCAAs here. But the reason why T-Bone made that comment, gosh, you're such a jerk, was my senior year of high school. Long story short, I signed for an incorrect scorecard at state and ended up getting disqualified and cost my team the state championship.
Oh, shit. That's worse than three-putting.
Yeah.
You're a dick.
This is a true story. T-Bone? Instead of taking my score, we had to take a score that was 17 shots higher. We had to take our fifth man, and we ended up losing by 12.
I'm in physical pain right now.
So, I get it.
I'm surprised you ever teed up another golf ball.
It was very hard. Let's just say, because that was after the first day. So, then I had to come back and play again on the second day.
Who beat you? Kincaid?
Nah, they're a different school. They're SBC. We were Taps. It was some school in Fort Worth. But
definitely not the
extent. I didn't sleep that night, I'll tell you that. Like, everything was just replaying in my head over and over. Like, how did I mess up that badly? And I literally cost
What'd
my team the state championship. I signed for a 77 when I shot 78, I think.
Did you know it?
No. I signed for a 76 and shot 77. Me and my playing partner, we didn't get along, and I ended up getting him disqualified for a little BS rule. So,
wow.
Because I was very upset
Dick.
With him. Yeah.
Well, not the magnitude of that, but I've done this too in my golf career. It was back when I was playing Little Linksters. So I was probably 10 years old, 9 years old.
Shout out to the STPGA.
Shout out to the STPGA. I won the tournament. It was at Golf Club of Houston. Back then was Redstone. I got a smile from ear to ear. I'm walking into the clubhouse. This trophy's mine. Came in second because I didn't add up my fucking scorecard. Never made that mistake again. I'm sure you didn't. And
here's the thing.
Golf is a bitch.
If you play enough tournament golf, something is going to happen to you. Unfortunately for me, it just happened to be my senior year.
On the biggest stage.
And I went to private school, so we weren't on the same level or on the same stage as Jordan Spieth. Like, that's the public schools. But, I mean, there was some pretty good competition there. And, yeah, it was tough. We were a pretty senior-heavy team. We had four seniors on that team, and we had all played all 4 years together. And, man, that was tough.
Yeah.
Still is. Still sucks. I'm not going to lie. So that's why I remember last year there was a story that made the rounds about some girl up in Ohio, I think, who signed for an incorrect scorecard. And pretty much the same situation cost her team the state championship. Even Jack Nicklaus tweeted out at her. I didn't get a tweet from Jack Nicklaus, though.
I didn't either back in the day.
Yeah.
Damn.
Little Linksters.
Come on. Damn. Come on, Mr. Nicklaus. Tweet at me. At 300 par pod. Anyway, so coming back to the NCAA tournament here, a lot of the guys who have gone on and won the NCAA tournament and have done well in match play or whatnot, for example, like Scotty Scheffler, who's now on the web.com, Maverick McNealy, who is about to come up through the ranks, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth. The 1 year that Spieth went to Texas, he won a national championship when he was there. He was there. Cody Gribble has been there. A lot of the guys who are on the PGA Tour, if you have time to watch, especially tomorrow's probably final round match, you'll see a lot of those guys coming up on tour here. And to your point about the format, I love the format. I love it because it's just different.
It's a ton of golf.
I don't think...
It is a marathon.
You're playing, what, 6 rounds all the way through? 3, and then...
If you win, you probably got to go 7.
I like the format, and
because
I think
it's stroke and match play. Like, you don't see that anywhere else. That's great.
I like the format. I think it's really entertaining. I don't think it necessarily allows the best team to win. I think you can say that about a lot of match play tournaments, but like I said, Oklahoma State just destroyed the field in the stroke play, and now they're like got a nail biter with UT.
Yeah.
I mean, Hammer's playing out of his mind. That guy, he's a freshman at UT.
He's a freshman from Houston.
Yeah, from Houston. That's right.
H-Town represent.
And you want to talk about somebody up and coming. I don't know how long he'll stay there.
I don't know either.
He has the game. I think if he plays one more year. But, I mean, maybe. He has the game right now to go out there.
So he's currently playing against Matthew Wolf. Wolf's only a sophomore, dude. But Wolf is going to turn pro as soon as NCAAs are up. Hammer just made another birdie right there. Dude, like, Hammer is so, so good. He qualified for the U.S. Open when he was 14.
Yeah. That's insane.
He's like a sophomore in high school and qualifies for the U.S. Open.
That's a freshman.
A freshman,
that's,
whatever.
That's like eighth grade summer, bro.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So I'm loving this match right now. Three names we've touched on them. Cole Hammer of Texas. Matthew Wolf, obviously, dude. That guy's going to be a star. I think I said, kind of hot take, he might be the best player to come out of Oklahoma State.
Wow.
I'm going to stick by that right now. Time will tell.
No Ricky,
how
huh?
it goes. Ricky still hasn't won a major championship. I don't know if you want to include the players, but.
What about Wolf's
Between
teammate?
Him and Victor Hovland. We haven't really talked much about Victor Hovland. He's from Sweden, but he won the US AM last year. Low AM at the Masters. The guy can flat out play some golf, too. This might be one of the best Oklahoma State teams that has ever been put together. Really.
I think that's a fair statement.
We'll see if they can get it done, though. Like you said, I mean, it's.
Wolf's,
it's a lot of golf.
Wolf's dormy right now with four to play. So,
but here's the thing. Oklahoma's, I mean, we'll find out by the time this episode releases, but Oklahoma State might win the match and their best player is not even going to win.
Yeah.
That shows how deep their team is and how very, very good from top to bottom they are. And what's scary about programs like Oklahoma State or even Texas, they're 8, 9, 10 guys who aren't even traveling. They were probably some of the best players in their respective cities and states. And they're not even good enough to make the traveling team yet. It's pretty wild. So NCAA's great time. Hopefully those are able to watch it. Keep your eyes out for these names. All really great players. I want to give a little preview for the Memorial. So the Memorial is next week. There we go. Muirfield Village Jacks Tournament. You know who's playing?
Tiger.
El Tigre. T-Bone, are you excited to see Tiger this week?
I am. I feel like I don't normally get to name drop or, I guess.
Or place drop or something?
Whatever, yeah.
Okay.
But I do get to for the Memorial. I went to this tournament in 2008.
Okay.
I'm not sure if that's the last time he won the Memorial. No, it's not.
No, he won in 2013 when he had that just
chip
amazing
in.
Flop
yes.
shot over Ricky Fowler. And just, oh, it was so cool.
So I won. Yeah, I won the Memorial. No.
Very nice.
It's been a long day, boys. So I went to the Memorial in 2008. So this was a week or two before Tiger won that 2008 U.S. Open at Torrey Pines.
Okay.
So I went up with a friend whose grandfather helped run the tournament. And for the winner of the Memorial, they have a party after the round, big dinner for the winner of the tournament, and they usually give a speech and stuff, and I was there when Tiger won. So I got to go to this dinner party where Tiger Woods was at. He comes in, he stands up on the podium, says about a 2-minute speech, and gets the hell out. And they said that over the years, so he won that tournament a ton. I think when he first won the Memorial, he was in his early 20s, and they said he stayed for like 2 hours. He was there the whole time. And just over time, it was like, I'm getting the fuck out of here. But yeah, it was just pretty interesting. I was in the same room as Tiger Woods. And
back at the height of Tiger Woods. Like
yeah.
2008. Like that was.
That was the last major before this most recent one.
That's cool.
But it was really cool. A few things about this tournament that you always see. The milkshakes, that's the real deal. Best in the world.
Okay.
People are always talking about the milkshakes there. But yeah, really great tournament. I'm excited. I think it's definitely one of the higher tiered tournaments outside of majors each year. So I'm looking forward to it and good to see Tiger back.
For sure. Yeah, Tiger always really likes to play in the tournaments that pay homage to previous greats. That's why he likes to play at the Arnold Palmer Invitational.
Right.
That's Arnie's tournament. The Memorial is Jack's tournament. So it's always cool seeing Jack right there on AT&T, comes there and shakes everybody's
handshake,
hand.
The most famous handshake in golf.
Tiger showing no love for Byron Nelson, I guess.
Not anymore.
Not in the last 10 years, probably. Anyways.
Yeah, the Byron Nelson could use a little more,
a little more hype.
It helps if you get Tiger in on there. But, yeah, I think people forget, to your point about Tiger, how far he slipped. Like, his fall from glory was so steep because it was at the Memorial where he shot his highest round as a professional. He shot 85.
Whoo! There you go, T-Bone.
Tiger Woods?
4 years ago at the Memorial, he shot 85.
That's awesome.
Is that relatable or what?
That's awesome. The thing about Tiger is I'm like a fair weather Tiger fan. If he's doing bad, I almost think it's kind of funny, but when he's doing well, I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Kind of. Yeah, that makes sense. It just makes you exactly what you said, a fair weather Tiger fan.
I mean, who isn't after Augusta? But anyways, that's good to hear.
You know what? The bandwagon's open. Tiger. All aboard the Tiger
train.
Yeah,
it's the best moment in golf. It doesn't matter who it was.
Yeah. So there were a couple of marquee pairings that I saw. You know who Tiger's playing with? He's playing with Justin Rose and Bryson DeChambeau. Mm. Bryson won last year. I think people forget. In golf, it's so easy to have a short memory. Bryson won the Memorial, and then he won a playoff event. Bryson had a very good season last year. And so he's looking to defend his title there coming up this next week.
Another pretty cool thing about this tournament, and even the year Tiger shot 85, he got paid. Jack pays everyone that comes to this tournament, even if you miss the cut. So that's pretty cool.
Nice. That's good of Mr. Nicholas.
If I was
to do
on
that.
Tour, that'd probably be the only check I cash all year.
The guaranteed money. Love it. You have Phil Mickelson playing with Matt Kuchar and Ricky Fowler. I wonder if Phil's going to be chirping Kuchar like he did just unexpectedly in that Augusta video.
That was a great
video.
He's
pulling down Magnolia Lane. All time. You got Justin Thomas. He's coming back from injury, playing with Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy.
Ooh, young bombers.
That is a really good pairing. I'm excited for that one. And then the other one is kind of low-key but really cool. Maybe potential President's Cup pairing is Jason Day, Adam Scott, and Hideki Matsuyama. There we go. So we'll see. Before we close out here, T-Bone, what'd you see in golf gossip this week?
Yeah, so there were a few things. I'll lead it off. I know KJ has some as well, but I'll start it off. So with the Memorial coming up, I guess someone decided to be a total dickhead and put a bunch of soap in the Muirfield Village fountains. So the entire fountain was covered in soap.
Mm.
Total middle schooler move, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Almost like putting sunscreen in a beer. It's pretty shitty. What else did you see in golf gossip there, yeah. T-Bone?
Take it over.
So there was one video that I saw. It looked like one of your little like range sessions at your local country club. There's people sitting behind the range and Tiger's hitting balls.
It was a clinic.
And yeah, it was a clinic. That's the word I was looking for. And somebody, he waits till Tiger gets over his shot so everybody's done talking, and he goes, "Hey, Tiger, what do you think about that guy putting an $85,000 bet on you to win the Masters?" And the guy's not even done saying you to win the Masters. He goes, "Great fucking bet." That's Tiger.
But then he said the Grand Slam bet was stupid.
Yeah, it's because he missed the cut at the PGA.
Yeah,
I know.
But yeah.
So those are facts.
Great bet to win the Masters. Wonder if that guy's going to be putting down for him to win at the U.S. Open.
I don't know. It is at
Pebble. It is at
Pebble.
Where Tiger dominated.
Yeah, I'd love to see
in
Tiger
2000?
Play well there. 12
like
strokes, wasn't it?
12 strokes at the 2000 U.S. Open. Tiger just blew away the field. It wasn't even close. Man. Well, we're still sitting here watching a little NCAA tournaments. You know what Matthew Wolf's win this week, or at least on the individual side, he's probably going to lose to Cole Hammer. His win kind of reminds me of Brooks Koepka at the PGA. Just the fact that there were only a handful of people under par, and Wolf just was able to separate himself so far from the rest of the field. I don't know. I don't know why that just popped in my mind. But is he the next Brooks Koepka?
No.
We'll see. I think we asked who's going to win the most majors in the next 5 or 10 years. If it's 10 years, might be Matthew Wolf. Dark horse there. Bum, bum, bum. Getting after it. Okay, there is one other thing I wanted to add here before we close out. Introducing a new segment. We're going to try to do a Would You Rather every single week or episode, whatever. I have not prepped KJ or T-Bone for this, and this is from Reddit, so you never know what's going to happen here.
This could get dicey.
So we're going to start off a little too – it's kind of easy for the first one. Would you rather have an ace on the 17th hole at TPC Sawgrass or the 16th hole at TPC Scottsdale?
Oh.
So let's say you're playing in the Players or you're playing in the Waste Management Phoenix Open, the People's Major. Would you rather win –
depends if I'm in contention. Like, if I shoot 85 and make an ace,
let's say
then
in both
I'd want
cases,
it to be at TPC Scottsdale.
In both cases, you get a hole-in-one to take a one-shot lead on Sunday.
Definitely at – yeah, that's – what are you talking about?
Would you rather get a hole-in-one at 16 at Scottsdale or
17
at Sawgrass?
17 all day. 17 all day.
Island Green?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That would be all time.
But,
that would be
you know,
all
if I'm
time.
Not in contention – think about how many beers I'd have after that in Scottsdale. Yeah. That would be insane.
Oh, man. That's a tough one. I think I'd have to go with you. I think I'd have to go with...
Win the Players or win the Waste Management?
You're not guaranteed to win either one.
Oh, with that water on the left, that is rope hook alley. I'm aiming at the crowd right.
On 17?
On 18.
There's water.
If I got one stroke lead,
yeah.
Shit, I'm hitting it in the woods.
Yeah. Aim right. Grandstand right. Yeah.
If I take away the, I guess, the significance of the tournaments, if I looked at them as equal tournaments, I think 16 would be more fun. But because it's the Players, you got to go 17.
Agreed.
Okay.
If you ended up making a hole-in-one on 17 and won the tournament, that'd be the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah, that would be really cool. Like I said, that tee shot on 18 at Sawgrass, that is daunting.
Yeah.
It's harder than 17. People say, right? You played it. What do you think?
What's really underrated is how big the green is on 17 at Sawgrass. That green is massive. Like,
it's cut right down the middle. So,
right. But when that pin's tucked there on the right on 18 on Sunday, that can get pretty dicey, especially when you got the grandstands everywhere. Yeah, every time I play 18 at Sawgrass, I block it so far right. The first time I ever teed it up there, I hooked it in the water, and so I aimed so far right every single time.
There you go.
And got to hit the hero shot out there from the woods. But how often do you see Tiger Woods' replay on 16 when he gets the hole-in-one and he does, like, the raise the roof thing? Like, that's an all-time video.
That's crazy, yeah.
Who's the last person to get a hole-in-one on 17 at Sawgrass?
16. Or 17.
17.
Do you know who it is? It's that...
I actually know who it is.
It's that young kid, that skinny guy.
That with the yellow ball.
Yes.
That pissed me off.
Will Wilcott?
Yeah.
Will
Wilcott? Yeah. Actually, it was Ryan Moore this year. He got a hole-in-one. Yeah.
I didn't see it.
So big shouts to Ryan Moore. But point being, I don't know, does that have to do more with the hole or the fact that Tiger got the hole-in-one on 16 at Waste Management? Like, because I couldn't tell you who the last person to get the hole-in-one there is.
Francesco did it somewhat. Someone does it like pretty much every year, I feel like. At least maybe every other year.
It's only plays, what, like 140? Yeah. And that's the thing about Sawgrass. Everybody's like, oh, what is that, like 180-yard shot? No. If they tip it all the way back, it plays 150.
Yeah.
At the very, very, very most. More often than not, it probably plays 130. It's a flip wedge.
So what's your pick?
I got to go 17 at Sawgrass as well.
So we swept it.
Yeah, I was trying to play devil's advocate for Scottsdale, but I don't know. It'll be great. I think you're right, though, because it's the Players. I think the atmosphere might be better at Scottsdale just because people literally wait there for like 5 hours for first golfers to get there, and that just would be a massive party. But, yeah, Players. I'd love to win the Players. All right. I think that wraps it up for this episode of the 3 Under Par podcast. Is there anything else that y'all would like to add?
No, I'm good.
I'm good.
Well, thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate y'all sticking with us for this episode of the 3 Under Par podcast. You can check us out on social media at 3 Under Par Pod. The number 3, 3 Under Par Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and wherever you're listening to this, preferably Apple Podcasts, write a review on there and give us a rating, hopefully 5 stars, and leave a comment. Yeah, DM us, leave us a comment. We want to hear from you. Again, if you have any good golf stories or whatnot, we'll read it on the air for you. Actually, one guy who's a listener, we ended up playing golf with last week. pretty cool. He's a friend from college, but he tunes in every week. And he was actually saying that, because I think we asked who's going to win the most majors. He said, low-key dark horse, John Rahm.
John Rahm.
We didn't even mention him last week. But John Rahm might be one of those guys. If he can just keep his head on straight. Guy's a freaking hothead. Anyway, well, thanks for tuning in and listening. Tell a friend about the podcast as well. And remember,
Little White Ball is life.